Where do new relationships begin in your life? When you think about your life, the time that you have on earth, you spend time with different people. Where do those new relationships that you form during your lifetime begin? You think about that. You think probably, well, at my job, there are people that I know that I would consider my friends. There could be people in your neighborhood while you're out doing work and you begin a relationship and you build a friendship with them over a period of time. There are people in church. That's a good place to begin relationships, isn't it? In a church. Jesus uttered some very powerful words, and Jesus established some new relationships at the cross. When you think about it, is the cross a place where new relationships are begun? Think about that for just a moment. Because this morning, as we look at a couple of verses, a couple of phrases that Jesus said, it helps us to understand where new relationships begin in our lives and where and how we can grow in them for God's honor and for His glory. I'm going to ask you to shut your eyes for a moment, if you would, please. When we talk about the cross, we talk about immense suffering and pain. Take a moment and thank the Lord for what He endured for you that day 2,000 years ago. Keep your eyes shut, if you would, please. Think about Him being laid down on the ground. Nails taken. Driven through one hand. Driven through His other hand. Then His feet. Think about the extreme pain that He endured. If you were the only person on earth, He would have done it for you. Thank you, Lord, for that great sacrifice. Be with us now as we look at those words that you shared with some dear friends of yours. Help them to be words that will encourage us and inspire us to appreciate more the cross and to appreciate more what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in a series. The series is entitled Christ's Last Words. Today we're going to look at a couple of verses, but the key thought, the key idea is here, is your Son. We're going to look at John 19, verses 25 through 27. If you'll open your Bible to that passage, or if you're not sure where that is in the blue Bibles provided, it is on page 768. So you can just open to page 768 and you'll be right with us in those blue Bibles provided for you. Last week, it's interesting to note that the Lord provided a home for a repentant sinner. Who was the repentant sinner we talked about last week? The thief on the cross beside Him. There were two of them. One of them rejected Him, one of them accepted Him. And the one that accepted Him, He provided heaven. Today we're going to find a home for somebody else. We'll see who that is. Let's look at these verses from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 25 to 27. I'm going to ask that you stand as I read these verses. We find this custom in the Old Testament of standing when God's Word is read. I don't do this very often, but during this series, the next couple of weeks, I'm going to do this. It's out of respect to God's Word that you would stand. Verse 25 of John chapter 19 says this, "Near the cross of Jesus stood His mother, His mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw His mother there and the disciple whom He loved standing nearby, He said to His mother, 'Dear woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time on, this disciple took her into his home." And you may be seated. As we look at this scene, as we survey what is going on, we've been at the cross for a period of time now, a couple of hours at least. Jesus Christ has suffered immensely to this point. It's interesting, gathered around the cross are four women. These are ladies that He knew. They were women that were faithful in the work of God and in His service. We also know that John is there with them. So as we look at the cross now, we see at least four women and one man during this time that are at the foot of the cross. What happened to the rest of the disciples? Where are they? That's interesting. There's a number of ideas, but we have a pretty good idea. They left Him. Some deserted Him. Some out of fear. The fear of their life. These who walked with Him for 3 years. And it's interesting to note who's at the foot of the cross at this point. Four women and one disciple. One thing that this shows us as we look at this picture is the immense value of women to God. Their service. Where would we be without women in the church of God? And all the men said, "Amen." Amen. Where would we be? What would the church do without women to serve God? It's incredible. Your energy, your effort, your service to God. It's amazing at the cross where it's really magnified in this section of God's Word. Your faithfulness to the Lord will go rewarded. You will be rewarded. Praise God for you. What would our homes be without our wives? Well, that kind of killed the solidity of the moment. It would be a mess. That's all right. That's truthful, though. What would our lives be without the women that are a part of them? Verse 25, just a little snapshot of the cross. Jesus dying, four faithful women there, and one disciple. Jesus looks down after a period of time, and I'm sure it's very difficult. The crucifixion death was more a death of suffocation, trying to hold their body up. It was very uncomfortable. He looked down and saw His mother. And He says to her, "Dear woman." Now we read this phrase, and I don't want us to misunderstand this phrase. What it means is it's a title of respect and honor that Jesus was sharing and talking to His mother about. And He called her "dear woman." He didn't say "mom," anything like that. He said "dear woman," out of respect for her. Let me ask you this. How did the mother of Jesus feel at this point? this must have been incredibly difficult. You think as a woman today, ladies, you think of a child or a friend's child or a grandchild that's sick and hurting. And you know how you feel. You magnify that 100 times when your child, in this case, Mary's child, Jesus, was hanging on a cross. It was incredibly difficult for her. You know, one of the things that touched me this week, did you see in the paper and or read in the paper and see on where we had two Marines where the mothers got together? Wasn't that incredible? Just the support and the friendship they had of their sons. My understanding is the one son was caught in a minefield. The other one went out to get him and he was injured, but they both got back. But it showed both mothers. And I thought about that, just the care and concern of a mother for her family, and in this case, for her son. Jesus had, as he was on the cross, his mother down there. And I know she was broken. Her heart ached for her son. He says one thing. He says, "Dear woman," and then he says this, "Here is your son." John was standing by Mary on the ground. Jesus looks at Mary and says, "Dear woman, here is your son." What Jesus is doing is something amazing at this point. In these simple verses, what he is doing is he is beginning a new relationship of John with Mary. There is a new relationship beginning to form at this point. That's all that's going on here, but it says so much. "Dear woman, here is your son." He said, in essence, "You're not losing a son. Me, Jesus Christ." Well, in one sense, she was immediately because he would die. What he was focusing on, though, in these moments was the fact that you're gaining a new son. John is going to be your new son. You see, Jesus is establishing a new relationship here, and I think that's what these verses are all about. I think one of the lessons that we look at and we see as we come to just two little verses in John is that new relationships begin. Interesting where it's beginning. Where is it beginning? At the cross. And Jesus is modeling something very important for us. In one sense, what he's saying is at the cross, old relationships end and a new relationship begins. Think about that in your life. At the cross, some old relationships will end, but a new relationship begins. And when we think at these words, of these words, Christ's last words, go to your outline for a second. And on there, when we talk about "here is your son," we need to recognize, first and foremost, that at the cross, new relationships begin. That is exactly what's going on. If you take that principle of Jesus saying, in essence, to John and his mother, "Here is your son." At the cross, new relationships begin. And I think that's verse 25 and verse 26. Jesus is doing something amazing here. He is taking care of his mother. The last moments of his life, he is doing that. But more than that, he is doing this for all people, for you and for me. At the cross, new relationships begin. And on your outline, I have a couple little statements below that. And the first one is with the Lord. A new relationship begins with you and the Lord when you accept him as your Savior. It's a new relationship. It's one that you begin at the cross. It's interesting, there's a verse in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Maybe many of you know this. What I'd like you to do is repeat it with me. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Really, 2 Corinthians 5:17 shows us that a process begins in our life of growing in Christ, but a new relationship. You're a new creature, and it begins at the cross. New relationships begin with the Lord, and second, they begin with other believers. With other believers. See, when you come to the cross and you trust Christ as your Savior, new relationships begin with other believers. You see, the church is the idea is to be a family, a support, an encouragement, to pray for one another, to be there, to help others. And it's really a two-way street. We become aware of needs in our own family, we try and meet them. On the other hand, when you have needs, you need to come to us and talk with us and communicate with us. Don't expect the church to figure out every need you have. Talk with the leaders you know. Share the things you know. I think probably one of the more difficult things and one of the more honest complaints of people is, well, nobody knows me and nobody cares. Well, that's true in one sense, but it is your responsibility to initiate and communicate and reach out and not expect everybody to come to you. It needs to go both ways. New relationships begin at the cross, begins with other believers. Jesus Christ is on the cross. He's looking down. Four women are there. He says a couple of words to his mother and to John. Verse 27 tells us then that John took Jesus and she stayed with him. You see, a new relationship began at the cross. And in this case, John took Mary and took care of her for the rest of her life. What we know by tradition and by history is that most likely Mary lived another 11 years and then she died, probably in the city of Ephesus. That's what we know of her life. But during that time, John took care of her. He provided for her. He loved her as his own mother. It was a new relationship that began at the cross. What happened to Joseph? You know, we're not completely sure. But Jesus, in giving this directive to John, was doing his responsibility. You see, it was the oldest son. It was his responsibility to take care of the parents. And so he was doing this. He was being faithful to his responsibility. Joseph, we're not sure. We think he may have died. They're not 100% the responsibility that we have to our family. But more than that, he gave us an example of new relationships that begin at the cross. It cost him something. Did it cost John something to take care of her for 11 years? Yes, it did. It cost time, energy, money. It will cost you something. So as we step back from this whole scene for just a moment, let's look again at the cross. On your outline, we look to the cross, or we come to the cross for a couple of things. As we step completely back from this scene, first and foremost, when you and I come to the cross, we come to be forgiven. As we look at the whole scene, because of what Jesus Christ has done, we are forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Say that with me. All sin. 1 John 1:7. We are forgiven from all sin. So we come to the cross, first of all, to be forgiven. Second, in another sense, we come to die to ourselves. You see, Jesus Christ died for you and for me. He sacrificed for us. When we come to the cross, we come to die to ourselves. To recognize the responsibility we have to our church family as well as our natural family. We die to ourselves. And literally, we then live for others. To live for others. To serve them as John did in his new relationship with Mary. To help them. To grow them. So when you come to the cross, a whole new relationship begins. While you have relationships beginning at a number of places in your lives, let me assure you that the most important relationship that began is the one that began when you came to faith in Jesus Christ and trusted Him so that now you could die to yourself, so that now you could begin to live for others. It's exactly what Jesus did. For us, we're to live for others, to serve them, to give to them. Interesting words, aren't they? Maybe you've never looked at this passage in that way before, but when you come to the cross and you look at John 19 and you see a new relationship beginning that Jesus Himself started for His mother, never forget the new relationship that you have when you come to the cross. And along with that comes responsibility and commitment to a new family, to God's family. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for these brief and powerful words. Thank you that you had this short conversation with your mother. And yet we look at those words and say, wow, they're for us today. Lord, as we look at the cross in our own lives, help us to look at it through your eyes. Help us to be people that are more service-oriented, that die to ourselves and our own desires and live and serve others for your honor and your glory. I thank you, Lord, for how that is modeled by many people in this church. I'm humbled by it, and I praise you for it. Lord, when we think about what took place 2,000 years ago, it's all about love. It's all about your love for us. Help us to celebrate this love, to express it, and to be joyful about the love that you have for us because of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, that we can give to you. And we do this eternally grateful because of what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.